We are in Proverbs 16, and we're going to be in verses 11 to 25 tonight. Estamos en Proverbios 16, estamos en los versículos 11 al 25, y seguimos, ¿verdad?, la plan de Salomón de darle a cómo enseñarle a sus hijos a planificar, ¿verdad?, en sus vidas. Y en esta sección de versículos, ¿verdad?, vamos a aprender cómo planificar con integridad. And so we're at the point in this section of verses where Solomon is teaching his children how to plan ahead. And in the section that we are at, in the verses that we're at, we're going to learn how to plan with integrity. And that's what I've titled this section of verses. And it's verses 11 to 25 of Proverbs 16. Estamos en los Proverbios 16, ¿verdad? Y vamos a estar en los versículos 11 al 25. Vamos a comenzar con los versículos 11 al 13. Let's begin with verses 11 through 13, and let's learn how we are to plan in integrity. Vamos a aprender cómo planificar en integridad. A just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are His concern. It is an abomination for kings to commit wicked acts, for a throne is established on righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and he who speaks right is loved. El peso y las balanzas justas son del Señor. Todas las pesas de la bolsa son obra suya. Es abominación para los reyes cometer iniquidad, porque el trono se afianza en la justicia. El agrado de los reyes son los labios justos, y amado será el que hable lo recto. Okay, so the first point scripture gives us here is that if we're going to plan with integrity, we need to plan by seeking righteousness. Si vamos a planificar, ¿verdad?, en integridad, tenemos que planificar buscando la justicia. Es el primer punto aquí. Piensen lo que dice el versículo 11 de Proverbios 16. Notice what verse 11 of chapter 16 says. A just balance and scales belong to the Lord, and the weights of the bag are His concern. El peso y las balanzas justas son del Señor. Todas las pesas de la bolsa son obra suya. So what is it saying here? God is interested in the way we perform business. Aquí está diciendo, Dios está interesado en cómo, ¿verdad?, hacemos el comercio. And so it doesn't matter if we buy or sell, make a product or have a service. We know that we have to be fair and honest as God's representatives. We cannot be unfair and dishonest. Que la primera cosa que les quiero dejar, que no le hace si compramos o vendemos, o si tenemos un producto o ofrecemos un servicio, ¿verdad? Tenemos que hacerlo honestamente y justamente, y no hacerlo, ¿verdad?, deshonestamente. Porque es importante entender que el Señor mira todo lo que hacemos. See, remember, God sees everything we're doing. And sometimes we feel the temptation or the pressure to be dishonest because the enemy wants to tempt us to do things the way the world does. But as Christians, we cannot go there if we're going to be successful, especially in our business dealings. We have to be honest all the time. ¿Cómo, verdad, los hijos del Señor vamos a sentir presión y vamos a sentir, verdad, de ser deshonestos o tentados de ser deshonestos? Pero acuérdense, ¿a quién representamos? Y no podemos ganar así nosotros ganancia si va a ser deshonestamente como lo ganamos. See, we cannot gain profit by being dishonest as God's children. Okay, and so, if we want to obey God, right, one of the things is there's a middle ground there. You cannot compromise the fairness in your business dealings. No puedes hacer tu injusticia cuando estás haciendo tus hechos comerciales, ¿verdad? Tienes que obedecer a Dios todo el tiempo. Why does God demand honesty? ¿Por qué demanda el Señor ser honestos? Porque nosotros lo representamos, right? Because we represent God. And if people see us dealing crookedly, we're going to give the wrong image of who Christ is. And you know how the world is. They're only waiting for us to do something bad so they can throw it in our face. Ya saben cómo es el mundo, que muchas veces quiere echarnos cosas en la cara. Ah, mira los cristianos. Son bien tranceros, ¿verdad? Y entonces lastimamos el nombre del Señor. Okay? Tenemos que estar nosotros honestos en cada transacción que hacemos en el negocio. God demands honesty in every business transaction. Okay? Now, remember, No amount of rationalizing can justify a dishonest business practice. Que no le hace, ¿verdad? Ninguna cantidad de racionalismo puede justificar una práctica deshonesta. No podemos decir, no, no le hacen, cabo es poquito. No, un penny si lo haces deshonestamente es mucho más. Una de las cosas que muchos de los hijos del Señor batallan con ser verdaderos. There's a lot of children of God that struggle with being dishonest. They can never tell the truth. Nunca pueden decir la verdad. Y muchos, ¿verdad? Piensan, no, no puedo vencerlo. Sí puedes, pero te tienes que rendir a Dios. And see, when you are like that and you cannot tell the truth, one of the things you have to decide, who do you want to honor, the devil or God? ¿Quién quieres honrar, al diablo o al Señor? Y tienes que hacer la línea y decir, yo quiero honrar a mi Dios. See, and you have to draw the line where you say, my heart is for the Lord and I want to be an honest child of God. See, people don't realize you bring a bad name to God when you're not living this way and you call yourself a Christian. Cuando te llamas así, ¿verdad? Estás trayéndole un nombre muy feo al Señor que lo disfraza. En otras palabras, lo está representando mal. Y lo que el Señor quiere es hijos y hijas que lo van a representar correctamente. See, and God wants us as children of God to represent them the right way. Now, lying affects others, not just yourself. The people who you're dealing with, the people who are around you, your family, your friends, all that lies affect the people you hang out with. La gente con que dices mentiras alrededor de ti, familia, negociantes, la gente con que tú tratas, los estás lastimando también. La mentira no nomás te afecta a ti. See, and lying doesn't only affect you. But see, being honest and fairness are not always easy because the enemy wants to tempt us to do wrong. Y ser honestos, ¿verdad? Y ser justos no todo el tiempo va a ser fácil porque el enemigo nos quiere atacar para que pierdanos nuestro testimonio. And see, what the enemy wants is for us to lose our testimony. And once we lose our testimony, remember, it affects God as well. Y cuando pierdes tu testimonio, también afecta al Señor. So por eso nos dice la palabra ser honestos todo el tiempo. That's why the word tells us to be honest at all times. If you struggle with this, si tú batallas con esto, pídele por discernimiento y valentía para hacer lo correcto. Right, if you're struggling with this issue in your life, and lying is very tough for you, ask him for discernment and courage to be consistently honest and fair. Ask him for the grace you need. Y luego pídele su gracia. Y él te va a concederlo si lo quieres hacer para el Señor. And he will give you that ability if you want the Lord to be glorified. And I know you guys do. We all struggle with one issue or another. Todos luchamos con una tema o otra. Pero cuando ya nos ponemos serio, entonces ya podemos vencerla en Cristo Jesús. But once we get serious about that matter of being able to defeat it, we can't do it without the Lord. And once we let the Lord reign, and we say, Lord, we submit to you, guess what? He will grant you the grace to give you victory. So don't give up. Keep pressing forward. Let's go to Ephesians 6, verses 6 and 7. Vamos a Efesios 6, versículos 6 y 7. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service as to the Lord and not to men. Remember, we're serving God, not men. And so if you just want to do the things you want to do because you want to appear to be cool before men or you want to get one by humanity, God says, you're dealing with me too. I see you. So don't forget, everything we do must be geared to do for God, not man. Todo lo que hacemos es para el Señor. Mira lo que dice el versículo 6. No para ser vistos como los que quieren agradar a los hombres, sino como siervos de Cristo, haciendo de corazón la voluntad de Dios. Y mira lo que dice el versículo 7. Servir de buena voluntad como al Señor y no a los hombres. Todo lo que hacemos es para glorificar a Dios. No se les olvide, Dios está mirando todo lo que hacemos. Who's watching everything we're doing? And who do we have to give an account for every word we've spoken, for every lie we've said? The Lord. So remember that. You're not getting anything past the Lord. No estás haciendo nada donde se escapa del Señor. Okay? So let's go to verse 12 now. Vamos al versículo 12 de Proverbios 16. It is an abomination for kings to commit wicked acts, for a throne is established on righteousness. Es abominación para los reyes cometer iniquidad, porque el trono se afianza en la justicia. Now I want you to see this because God expects all people to act in righteousness. El Señor espera que todos hagan hechos de justicia. Even more so the people in authority. Y hasta más seriamente, ¿verdad? La gente que está en autoridad. See, if a king loves to hear his subjects speaking truthfully, peacefully, righteously, right? And he loves it when his people are like that. How much more accountable is he not to speak the same way to those people? Si el rey, ¿verdad?, le encanta que la gente, ¿verdad?, se sujete a ellos, que hablen con verdad y con palabras pacíficas y con justicia, ¿cuánto no más él está contable a su pueblo que está gobernando de hablarles del mismo modo? El Señor nunca honra la autoridad que abusa su puesto. Sí, the Lord never honors people who abuse their authority. And this is one of the things. See, the leader is held accountable when he speaks to his subjects with the way he does it. El líder está contable ante Dios por cómo le habla al pueblo. Now think about that. How much more, right? As our king speaks to us, are we accountable to him to speak the same way to him and others? Si nosotros somos accountable al Rey de Reyes, ¿cuánto no más somos accountable de cómo le hablamos también a otros? Right, if our king speaks to us with truth, with peace, with justice, how much more accountable aren't we to speak the same way to others as well? Tenemos que ser ese tipo de persona. And then the Lord loves to hear his children speaking in a way that honors him. Cuss words, all those things shouldn't be in our life anymore. The old person must be buried. La persona vieja tiene que estar enterrada, ya hablando con palabras malas y perversas, ya no deben de salir de nuestra vida. Amén. Y entonces eso es lo que nos dice este versículo 12. No solamente los reyes van a tener contabilidad, también nosotros. Not only will the kings be subjected to God, so will we one day. For every other word we've spoken, right, we will give an account. Por cada palabra que hemos hablado, vamos a dar cuenta. Look at verse 13. Miren el versículo 13. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and he who speaks right is loved. El agrado de los reyes son los labios justos, y amado será el que habla lo recto. Now look at this verse. Here's a further character required of a good king. They love and delight in those that speak right. Dice aquí, ¿verdad?, algo más del carácter del buen rey. Aman y tienen delito en los que platican y hablan correctamente. In other words, they don't want people to be parasites or flatter them or try to manipulate them. Los reyes no quieren que los manipulen, no quieren que les hablen con palabras, ¿verdad?, jactanciosas donde hablan muy grande del rey. Quieren gente sincera. Right, a good king wants to be treated with respect and honor, not try to be flattered or trying to be impressed to where people lift up. You know how sometimes people will speak good to one person in authority, but then to the other person who's subjected under, they don't speak the same way as they do to the leader? That's what the Lord is trying to teach us. Be the same with all people. Even leaders, you submit the same way to someone who's not in leadership. Tenemos que hablar con la gente en liderazgo igual que con la gente que está sirviendo, ¿ok? Una de las cosas, ¿verdad?, que admiramos, de que una de las cosas para hacer justicia, ¿verdad?, también nosotros tenemos que darla para poder recibirla. Okay, so remember, in order to receive righteousness, we also have to give out that righteousness. In other words, treat people with honor and respect. One of the things that these good kings love is they love those who speak right. ¿Verdad? Dice aquí que los buenos reyes hablan, les encanta oír a los que hablan bien, palabras rectas, ¿verdad? Derechas. So, look at what it says in Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 12, about our words. Miren lo que dice Ecclesiastes 10, versículo 12, de nuestras palabras. Words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of a fool consume him. Llenas de gracia son las palabras de la boca del sabio, mientras los labios del necio a él consumen. Many of us came to the Lord when we were adults, young adults. We used to speak a lot of unwise words when we were out in the world doing the drinking and all the other things when we were lost. And what happens when you do those kind of things? The next day you had to apologize to everybody. And you had to tell them, I'm sorry I acted like a fool. See, and there's a difference when you're saved. You're covered from that. Because the Lord gives you a new way of speaking. A new Holy Spirit within you directs how you speak. And you get rid of that nonsense, right? Where you're not apologizing. But remember, when a man speaks, he should reflect the words of God. But that has to change, because what happens is you have to put new information into your heart. And that means you have to guard what you take in. As you're putting it in your warehouse, the heart, you're starting to put in new language, that you're no longer like the old man that had to always mess up with the way he spoke. You have wisdom now because you wait upon the Lord, you pray and you ask God to guide you. And so you're filling that storage unit, your heart, with good words, so that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. ¿Verdad? Cuando tú estás cuidando palabras, estás ahorrándolas. Entonces estás llenando tu bodega nueva, que ya el Espíritu Santo ya la reconstruyó con palabras nuevas. Entonces ya está entrando la bodega nueva, cosas buenas. So cuando ya sale, sale lo que honra al Señor. Antes de necios, ¿se acuerdan cuando andábamos borrachos y hablábamos tontería y media? Cuando andábamos en el mundo. Ya eso nos los va quitando, porque estamos depositando palabras de vida a la bodega. See, we're depositing new words of life when we come to Christ. And we're no longer speaking without thinking. See, one of the things is that you have to be understanding that the words you speak are before your king now as a Christian. Las palabras que tú hablas ya, ya están ante tu rey, ¿verdad? Y lo que habla correcto, ¿verdad? El Señor se agrada con él. And the words that you speak that are right, God is pleased with the way you speak, because he knows now that you're storing up for yourself righteousness in that warehouse. Estás cuidando la justicia en tu bodega. So our first point, how to plan with integrity, right? One of the things that you have to understand is plan by seeking after righteousness. Cuando están planeando, ¿verdad?, su vida, planifiquen buscando la justicia. Point number two, plan to find his understanding. Punto número dos, planificar para entender o encontrar su entendimiento. Vamos a los versículos 14 al 20. Let's go to verses 14 to 20. And Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. The fury of a king is like messengers of death, but a wise man will appease it. In the light of a king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud with the spring rain. Verse 16. Okay, I'm sorry. Just 14 and 15. Let's do those first. Vamos a hacer Proverbios 16, 14. El furor del rey es como mensajero de muerte, pero el hombre sabio lo aplacará. En el resplandor del rostro del rey hay vida, y su favor es como nube de lluvia tardía. Okay, the fury of a king, right? Is like messengers of death. But a wise man will appease it. ¿Verdad? Dice aquí en el versículo. In other words, be aware that not all kings are wise. Sean sabios. No todos los reyes son buenos. Unos reyes son necios. Some kings are foolish. And so one of the things is we have to learn that. Because when we see foolish kings or foolish leaders like we see in our country today, one of the things is we have to remember to be praying for them. Why? They're going to give an account to what they're doing. They're not going to get away from doing the bad decisions that dishonor God. But we have to also be praying for them to get saved. Nosotros tenemos que estar orando por los reyes, ¿verdad?, que son necios. Porque las decisiones que hacen son abominación para el Señor. Entonces, ¿verdad?, cuando emprendemos este precepto, acuérdense, tenemos que levantarlos, porque muchas veces nomás nos enojamos, pero no oramos en el Espíritu, porque dice la palabra claramente que no luchamos contra sangre ni carne. Remember, one of the things that the word says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And so these kings that are bad, especially presidents and people that are dictators, all these people, we need to pray that the fear of God will reach them, that they'll get born again and get saved. Okay, let's go to James 1:20. Vamos a Santiago 1:20. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Pues la ira del hombre no obra la justicia de Dios. See, even if they're foolish, one of the things that, even if men get mad at God, it's not going to bring about the justice of God. Aunque el hombre se voltee contra Dios, el líder y todo, eso no va, ¿verdad?, a poder alcanzar a hacer la justicia de Dios. Entonces, ¿verdad?, una de las cosas que tenemos que entender, la bendición que tenemos en nuestro rey. One of the things we have to understand about how blessed we are as Christians is that we don't have to worry about the Lord being that way with us as his children. We don't have to tiptoe and worry, is God mad at me today or is he not? No tenemos que andar, ¿verdad?, con miedo a estar alrededor del Señor y decir, ahora me quiere o ahora no. Él no es como los necios reyes. Él es el rey que todo el tiempo te ama, hasta cuando haces mal, tiene misericordias nuevas para ti cada día. I want you to understand that because sometimes we get condemned so deeply by ourselves that we forget the nature and the character of our God. He loves us. But once we repent and we come to him, we'll receive mercy and grace. It's a good thing about our Lord. He never is like a foolish king of the world. We have a privilege. We don't have to tiptoe around. Well, I'm not worried if God is going to have a bad day today because there's no variance in him. There's no shadow of turning. ¿Verdad? No hay variedad en nuestro Señor. ¿Verdad? No hay sombras donde Él está cambiando ser un modo y otro en un día a otro. Él es consistente con sus hijos. Ahora, ¿cuántos de ustedes son hijos perfectos? Ahorita para echarlos para afuera. How many of you are perfect children? We fall short of the glory of God and we sin every day. And God just reminds us, look, earthly kings fail, but I will never fail you. Los reyes terrenales te van a fallar, pero yo nunca te voy a fallar. Qué precioso es nuestro Señor, ¿verdad? Que no, todo el tiempo nos enseña. Yo no me tengo que preocupar si Dios va a tener un día malo o va a estar de mal humor como yo. Right? I'm not worried about having that in himself, that I'm worried like I am, right? That I go up one day and down the other. I'm happy one day and then I'm moody the next. I don't have to worry about that about my Savior. He's continually being kind and merciful to me. And so to you as well. El Dios es muy bueno con nosotros porque Él es consistente. Our God is consistent, isn't He? And He doesn't waver. He is thoroughly and abundantly good. Es bueno, ¿verdad? Y tremendamente abundante bueno con nosotros. Let's go to James 1:17. Vamos a Santiago 1:17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Toda buena dádiva y todo don perfecto viene de lo alto, desciende del Padre de las luces, con el cual no hay cambio ni sombra de variación. Qué bonito, ¿verdad? No cambia el Señor, bendito sea. You know why I tell you this? Because one of the enemy's biggest tricks against you is to make you think the Father is mad at you and he doesn't want anything to do with you because of your failures. See, that's how he works. That's why when you make wise decisions, it keeps that away, that condemnation. Because the devil's just waiting for you to mess up and not repent from those mess ups so he can use it against you. Because you'll always feel guilty when you do those things and you know it's wrong and he keeps his foot on your neck, doesn't he? But the moment you understand that as soon as you repent and you come to the Lord, he gets that foot of the enemy off your neck. It's a wonderful thing that happens. Why? Because you're delivered by the power of God and you see how much he loves you. El Señor te libera en esos tiempos cuando fallas. Acuérdate, no te va a dejar ahí. Y no te abandona, no dice, no, ya hiciste mal, a ver cómo te lo averigua. Es muy bueno con nosotros. Y hay que alabar al Señor. How many times have we messed up in our life? And yet, God still continues to be consistent in his love for us. ¿Cuántas veces hemos fallado, verdad? Y todavía sí, el Señor nunca nos deja. Bendito sea su nombre, ¿verdad? Pero el enemigo no va a parar. And the sooner you get it through your head that when you do these things that cause condemnation on you, remember one of the things that will happen is it'll slow you down in your Christian walk. You'll never be able to serve God effectively that way. That's why the more you make a planning to change with integrity, the more you'll be able to accomplish the plans of God in your life. Entre más haces planes con integridad, más vas a tener tu esa comunión con el Señor cercana, donde te usa para perfeccionarte y para que puedas seguir siendo usado por Él, para que cumpla su voluntad. Look at verse 16 of Proverbs 16. Miren el versículo 16 de Proverbios 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. Adquirir sabiduría, cuanto mejor que el oro, y adquirir inteligencia es preferible a la plata. Okay, esta sección está muy bonito. Wisdom and understanding are worth more than gold and silver. La sabiduría y el entendimiento son más importantes que el oro y la plata. There is so much foolishness though in the world. And because the world is full of fools, they're all going after what silver and gold buys. But the Christian shouldn't do that. ¿Verdad? Aquí en el mundo miramos mucha necedad, porque en este mundo todos están siguiendo lo que el oro y la plata compra. En vez, ¿verdad?, de entender que el mundo está lleno de necios, pero el cristiano no debe seguir las mismas cosas. See, as a Christian, you don't follow after these things. You seek the things that are wise, the things that money and gold cannot buy. Busca las cosas que el oro y la plata no compra, ¿verdad? Como su hijo. Let's go to Proverbs 3, verses 14 and 15. Vamos a Proverbios 3, 14 y 15. When you go after wisdom, remember, it's priceless. Cuando tú sigues la sabiduría, no le puedes poner precio. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, than nothing you desire compares with her. Porque su ganancia es mejor que la ganancia de la plata, hablando de la sabiduría, y sus utilidades mejor que el oro fino. Es más preciosa que las joyas, y nada de lo que deseas se compara con ella. Qué bonito, ¿verdad? Cuando miras eso, hay que vivir en sabiduría y entendimiento. See, we have to live in wisdom and understanding. See, having the things that money can buy is not bad. Teniendo el dinero para comprar las cosas que necesitas no está mal. Pero si pierdes las cosas que el dinero no puede comprar, ahí está el problema. But I want you to understand, it's all right to have money to buy those things, provided that we don't lose the things money cannot buy. What does that mean? I'll give you a practical example. What good is it if you buy an expensive home? Say it's a $600,000 home. But yet, right? Happiness is lacking in the home. Pleasantness is not in the home. Peace is not found in the home. It's just a house. Right? So it's all right to get those things, but you know what? Don't lose what money cannot buy. There's a family that's supposed to be in that home. And children are supposed to be loved in there. And a husband and wife should love each other. And in the home, there must always be the presence of God. See, yes, you have a home. And that home should be filled of life, especially when God is the center of that home. There's love in there. Of course, disagreements, all those other things. But that's what builds the home back up. Because when we have Christ, He teaches us. You know, we have to go after the things that money cannot buy. Y no es mal tener dinero, tener una casota, pero si no hay familia dentro de esa casa, si no hay amor, si no hay verdad, felicidad, si no hay paz en ese hogar, y si falta Dios, es una casa hueca. Pero si está el Señor ahí, está bien si tienes una casa bonita, pero que exista también la familia dentro de esas paredes. Que haya amor, están los pleitos, ¿verdad? Que se basa la palabra y se sana todo otra vez. No quiere decir que no vamos a tener lucha ni guerra en la casa, pero lo que se muestra ahí es que si tenemos al Señor, ahí hay amor sincero. Y todo lo puede, ¿verdad? El hogar que está unidos con el Señor. Acuérdense, una de las cosas, ¿verdad? La felicidad, los placeres, el paz, no están garantizados con tener dinero. Remember one thing, happiness, pleasantness, peace are not guaranteed in financial success. They're not guaranteed. But they are guaranteed to a person who lives in God's wisdom. Pero sí están garantizadas esas cosas para la persona que vive en la sabiduría de Dios. Cuando el hogar está lleno de alabanza al Señor, when the house is full of the worship of God, the study of the word of God, cuando la casa tiene ese estudio de la palabra de Dios, es hermoso. Cuando sales del trabajo, ¿verdad? Debes de estar listo para ir a tu hogar y decir, qué bonito, no place like home, ¿verdad? No hay lugar como la casa, porque sabes que ahí mora el Señor. Pero si vas y sales del trabajo y dices, sabes que no quiero ir a la casa, voy a ir al otro lado, hay un problema. See, but if you get out of work and you know, right, that you don't want to go home because there's not peace there, guess who's missing in that home? God and His wisdom. ¿Qué está faltando en ese hogar? Dios y su sabiduría. I love going home after work because I know the presence of God is there. Me encanta ir a mi casa y me encanta estar ahí porque está la presencia del Señor ahí. Right? Because we have a biblical worldview, because we have the Lord, right? One of the things is the home doesn't have to be in disarray all the time. Doesn't have to be in chaos all the time. It can be full of God's peace, but the Lord has to be first and foremost in that home. ¿Verdad? Cuando estamos en ese hogar, acuérdense, no quiere decir que no vamos a tener caos o pleitos o luchas, pero cuando encuentras un hogar lleno de paz es porque el Señor es primordial y el Señor reina ahí. Eso es lo que cambia, ¿verdad? Ser como el mundo que muchas veces ni quieren ir a la casa porque no está en la presencia de Dios ahí. Puro pleito, perro y gato. Right? Many times in that home, it's like cat and dog. There's fights everywhere because of the lack of God's word and God's presence is there. I love that I can go home to my home and I can rest there with the presence of God. Okay, let's go to verses 17 to 19 of Proverbs 16. Vamos a los versículos 17 al 19 de Proverbios 16. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who watches his way preserves his life. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. It is better to be humble in spirit than the lowly, than to divide the spoil with the proud. La senda de los rectos es apartarse del mal. El que guarda su camino preserva su alma. Delante de la destrucción va el orgullo, y delante de la caída, la altivez de espíritu. Mejor es ser de espíritu humilde con los pobres que dividir el botín con los soberbios. Okay, so let's look at these verses. Right, one of the things that we learn, right, from Scripture, humility goes a long way with the Lord. La humildad se va muy lejos con el Señor. When you travel the roads that you travel, right, when we come to church or wherever we go in the city, there are road signs to help us where we're heading. Cuando estamos nosotros manejando aquí a la iglesia o a otros lugares, tenemos señales, ¿verdad? O letreros donde nos dicen, ¿verdad? ¿Cuál ciudad está enfrente de otra o cuál locación está adelante? You've seen those, right? Mile markers. So many miles to Las Cruces, to Vado, to Mesquite. Los señales nos dicen, tanta mía para Vado, para Mezquite, y luego para Las Cruces, para enseñarnos, ¿verdad?, cuáles ciudades están adelante de nosotros. See, if you want to make a specific destination, you must pay attention to the road signs. Si vas a ir a un lugar en específico, tienes que hacerle caso a esos señales, ¿verdad? Así es en la vida. That's how it is in life. Watch for the road signs and see where you're heading. Cuida, ¿verdad?, de tu vida. Busca los señales y mira dónde vas. ¿Dónde está tu destino final? Los cielos. Where is your final destination? Heaven, right? And so, proud people don't ask for directions. Gente orgullosa no pide por direcciones, right? I'm telling you, because guys are that way. We won't ask for directions if we're lost. Thank God for GPS. Pero antes yo me acuerdo cuando tenía los mapas, ¿verdad? Que me perdía, no quería decir que estaba perdido. Even when we had maps, you know, those McGregor maps or whatever they were, I would never, ever, or McNary, right, or whatever they were called. Yeah, back in the day, right? Hijo, ¿qué edad tienes tú? No, I'm just kidding. No te creas. I did too, so don't worry. So one of the things. Okay. Ya tenemos electricidad. Gracias. No sé qué. Okay, one of the things about that is we all needed to look at those maps to get to our destination. You know, it's amazing what GPS does, right? If you come from that generation, we used to get lost all the time. U-turn, right? All the time. GPS sometimes gets us lost, but it's more accurate than those maps ever were. El GPS está más derecho que cualquier otra cosa que hemos tenido en la historia. Pero teníamos que cuidar nosotros, ¿verdad? ¿Y dónde estábamos? Y cuando estábamos perdidos, no me gustaba admitir que estoy perdido. See, proud people, and this is what it's saying in the scripture, take little account for their weaknesses. And they don't attend to or anticipate those stumbling blocks. La gente orgullosa, ¿verdad? No toma mucha cuenta de sus debilidades y no quiere anticipar cosas que los van a perturbar de llegar a su destino, ¿verdad? Entonces, ellos piensan que están muy fuertes, que no necesitan de Dios. So people that are proud think they're strong enough, they don't need God. They can do their own thing and navigate through life on their own. ¿Verdad? Hay gente orgullosa que piensa que pueden navegar de su vida solos y no necesitan al Señor porque no se sienten débiles. Right? But we understand. We are Christians now. We have the manual to direct us in everything we need to do and how to get there. Como cristianos, como hijos del Señor, tenemos el manual que nos enseña cómo vivir, a dónde ir, a dónde no ir, ¿verdad? Y cuando aplicamos el manual, si estamos perdidos y vamos al manual, el Señor nos dice dónde llegar y cómo llegar. Pero si estoy orgulloso, yo no necesito eso. No necesito el manual. Y así éramos antes, muy orgullosos. See, we were lost before. And we didn't want the manual. We thought we could do life and navigate life on our own. And God says, that's a fool. Because none of us can navigate our lives apart from the Lord. None of us. We need to have continual fellowship with God in humility so that He will direct us. But He will not be able to steer someone or guide someone who's too full of themselves. El Señor nunca puede guiar a alguien que está muy lleno de sí mismo. El que no le puedes enseñar nada nuevo. The person that you can't teach anything new. Esa persona que quiere navegar su vida solos, sin el Señor, está pidiendo por desastre. Right? They're asking for disaster when you're trying to steer your own life. See, one of the things I want you to understand, the more you submit to God, it makes you wiser. And as you're wiser, you understand, that's why we have the manual to live by. I know where to go, where not to go. Sé dónde ir, sé dónde no ir. And so as I go on in life, I remember. As I get wiser, I understand. I depend on Him to guide me daily. And you'll do that in your life when you recognize that. When you recognize your life has to be guided by the Lord, what's the first thing you do in the morning? Before you start the day, you cry out to God. You say, Lord, help me. Help me because, you know, I don't know what to expect. I don't know any potholes that are coming up in this day. But I know you know the potholes. You know the obstacles. You know the bumpy roads. You know the speed bumps. You know all those things. And Lord, I can give you my day. When you do that, you're geared and you're also loaded to do the right things for God. And when you go through life and that day, all of a sudden, you avoid potholes, you avoid speed bumps, because you're being obedient to the Word of God. All of us have days that are very heavy sometimes. And many times we don't consult with the Lord who directs us. When we ask the Lord before to direct us, then one of the things that happens, our days go easier. Entre más le pedimos al Señor guianza cada día, antes de que comencemos ese día, más nos va a llevar a los lugares apropiados, donde evitamos, ¿verdad?, hoyos en el camino, o hay obstáculos donde nos molestan cruzar, y entonces nos dice el Señor, ya estás aprendiendo. Entre más te entregas a mí, entre más te sometes. Y eso aplica en todo, con nuestros hijos, hijas. See, that principle applies to everything. Our children, we have to give them to the Lord for the Lord to guide them, to direct them. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot change their hearts. We cannot change who they are. Only the Holy Spirit can through Christ. And so you ask the Lord, navigate my child to your will, your path, so that he will turn out to be, or they will turn out to be, righteous children in your eyes. because they're obedient children. Entre más, ¿verdad?, aprendemos estos planes, se los damos al Señor, nuestros hijos, hijas, todo lo que están haciendo, y le pedimos al Señor, guíanos tus hijos, te los entregamos, Señor, porque son tuyos. Guíalos, y con el manual de la vida, enséñales cómo caminar, para que pasen sus días mejor y te glorifiquen con sus vidas también. Amén. All right. The verse 19. Vamos al versículo 19 de Proverbios 16. It is better to be humble in the spirit than lowly, than to divide the spoil with the proud. Mejor es ser de espíritu humilde con los pobres que dividir el botín con los soberbios. Okay. One of the things, if we want the best, we must always seek the better. Si queremos lo mejor, tenemos que seguir lo mejor, ¿verdad? Y la humildad es mejor que el orgullo. And humility is always better than pride. See, one of the things that we are as Christians, we are supposed to be humble and not proudful. Como sus hijos y hijas, tenemos que ser humildes y no orgullosos, ¿verdad? Una de las cosas que la sociedad, el mundo perdido, dice, no, sea orgulloso, levántate tú mismo. Right? The world, society, that's lost, always wants to appear to be proud. Right? They like the acknowledgement. The child of God doesn't want any credit to go to him. Why? Because he knows he got everything from the Lord. La humildad es algo que entendemos como sus hijos porque le damos la gloria al Señor, ¿verdad? Y no le robamos gloria al Señor. Cuando tenemos autoconfianza, ¿verdad? Y una de las cosas, ¿verdad?, que miramos en el mundo, eso les encanta. When we're full of pride and we're even full of self-confidence, right? That's not the way of God. Our confidence is in Christ. Nuestra confianza está en Cristo, right? And one of the things that once you realize this, as you walk in humility, more things are going to happen. You can gain a lot of things in this world. But if they're gained dishonestly, it does no good to divide the booty, right? Everything you've gotten with other people if it was gained the wrong way. But if you got it through humility and not pride, then, right, the fruit of your life is what God honors. You don't have to be spending it with the applause of men, in other words. God will exalt you in due time. El Señor te va a levantar en tiempo apropiado. See, humility will get you exalted anyway in the eyes of God, but it'll be done the right way. La humildad, cuando la recibe el Señor, te va a exaltar a su tiempo, pero te va a honrar por ser humilde. The world wants to be proud and then rip off the glory that pertains to God. That doesn't work that way. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Vamos a la primera epístola de San Pedro, capítulo 5, versículo 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. Dice, humillaos pues bajo la poderosa mano de Dios para que él os exalte a su debido tiempo. See, the Lord doesn't have a problem with you receiving credit. He's not an insecure God. In other words, he's not saying, oh, they're going to get the glory and I'm going to disappear. No, what he's saying is, I want to bless you. But I don't want to bless you conforming to the world's principles. I want to bless you according to my word. And I will lift you up. And when he does lift you up, you take the compliments, you take the things that people say, well done, great sermon, whatever, but you immediately give it back to God. And you say, Lord, it was for you that I did this. ¿Verdad? El Señor te va a levantar, acuérdate, a tu tiempo debido. Pero cuando lo haces en humildad, lo haces en un modo que él se glorifica y dice, ahora sí, mijo, recíbela. Él no te quiere robar de tu conocimiento, acuérdate. No es inseguro Dios. Dios quiere premiarte, pero el correcto modo. ¿Ok? So, cuando haga todas las cosas, hágalas en humildad para Dios y Dios lo va a honrar a su debido tiempo. Remember, once you do things and you're talented and gifted, always thank the Lord for what you have and he will raise you up in due time and that will give him the glory. Look at verse 20. Vamos al versículo 20 de Proverbios 16. Proverbs 16, verse 20. He who gives attention to the word will find good. And blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Mira lo que dice. El que pone atención a la palabra hallará el bien. Y el que se confía en el Señor es bien aventurado. Mire qué bonito es esto. Here is a verse that encourages Bible study. Aquí está un versículo que te anima a estudiar la palabra, ¿verdad? El estudio bíblico. God's word is there, right? But if you study it, man, you'll find good. Entre más estudias la palabra, más bueno vas a encontrar. Why? Because you're trusting in what God has to say in the word. Estás confiando en lo que Dios está diciendo en la palabra y lo que dice en su palabra es bueno. Right? You trust in the word, you study it, and you get good from it. And this is what he's saying. It's encouraging you to study the Bible. Trust in God, what he has to say, and you will be blessed, is what it's saying. Confía en Dios, ¿verdad? Escucha lo que tiene que decir y tú vas a ser bienaventurado. See, a person who studies the word will gain wisdom from it. La persona que estudia la palabra va a recibir sabiduría. And then he'll learn the qualities that he needs to live a holy life. Y cuando estudia la palabra va a tener las cualidades que se requieren para vivir una vida santa. The Bible tells us this in Colossians 3. Let's go there. Verses 12 and 13. La Biblia en Colosenses capítulo 3, versículos 12 y 13 nos dice esto. Colosenses 3, versículos 12 y 13. It says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Entonces, como escogidos de Dios, santos y amados, revestidos de la tierna compasión, bondad, humildad, mansedumbre y paciencia, soportando los unos a los otros, perdonándonos los unos a los otros. Si alguno tiene queja contra otro, como Cristo os perdonó, así también hacerlo vosotros. See, the Bible gives us the way to live. And one of the things that teaches us how to forgive as well. ¿Verdad? La Biblia nos enseña cómo vivir, cómo perdonar y cómo seguir adelante. Nos da la sabiduría que necesitamos, ¿verdad? Para tener esa vida santa. See, it gives us the qualities we need in order to live that holy life. Okay, so how do we plan with integrity? Point number one, plan by seeking after righteousness. ¿Cómo buscamos atrás, verdad, de planificar con integridad? Primeramente, verdad, hay que planificar buscando la justicia. Second point, plan to find his understanding. ¿Verdad? Planifica cómo encontrar su entendimiento. In other words, plan to find his understanding. And then lastly, plan seeking pleasant words. Y luego el último punto, planificar con palabras agradables. Vamos a los versículos 21 ya para terminar todo el capítulo. Al 25. Let's go to verses 21 to 25 and finish up today's teaching. It says, the wise in the heart will be called understanding, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Understanding is the fountain of life to one who has it, but the disciplines of fools is folly. El sabio de corazón será llamado prudente, y la dulzura de las palabras aumenta la persuasión. Okay, so look at verses 21 and 22. Right? Understanding is a fountain of life to one who has it. ¿Verdad? El entendimiento es una fuente de vida para el que lo tiene. Right? What increases learning? ¿Qué nos hace crecer en el entendimiento? Well, we study, right? But we also have to do something with our lips. We also have to honor the Lord with our lips to gain more understanding. ¿Verdad? Con nosotros tenemos que estudiar, sí, pero también se requiere que tengamos palabras de vida también. ¿Verdad? Mire lo que dice aquí. It's not the loudness of lips, or the sternness of lips, or the forcefulness of lips. It says here, the sweetness of lips. ¿Verdad? Aquí nos enseña, ¿verdad? No es, ¿verdad?, los labios que sean, ¿verdad?, como dice aquí, muy forzantes o que sean palabras muy duras. Dice, es la dulzura de los labios. I want you to understand that, because the words that are sweet, right, in the Lord's eyes, words that are very soothing. Las palabras que son muy dulces y hermosas, ¿verdad? Qué tremendo dice aquí. Dice aquí, ¿verdad?, que cuando estás en este modo de hablar, miren lo que dice al último del versículo 21, y la dulzura de palabras aumenta la persuasión. And the sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. You know, as parents, sometimes we get fed up with our kids because they do wrong. And sometimes the words that come out of our lips are not gratifying to the Lord, right? You have short temper, you have lack of forgiveness, and so you let it rip. Those words will destroy more than build up. It says here, sweet words persuade. Qué tremendo, ¿verdad? Como padres tenemos a veces falta de paciencia con nuestros hijos cuando hacen mal, y cuando hablamos, hablamos sin pensar. Y esas palabras son duras, cortan, ¿verdad? Pero las palabras dulces, dice aquí, que te traen más aquí, ¿verdad? Persuasión. Quiere decir que cuando las palabras están pensadas, cuando meditas en lo que vas a decir antes de perder tu humor o perder tu paciencia, entonces dice el Señor, esas palabras dulces van a lograr más. Por eso dice en la palabra que su bondad nos lleva al arrepentimiento. That's why he says that his kindness leads us to repentance. Because the sweet words, the way God speaks to us, right? He does it in a way where we understand. And then we go and do the things he tells us to. He never cuts us down like we cut down many times our children. I'm speaking on my own. I'm not including anybody else. You're perfect parents. Okay? I'm just here showing you my faults at the throne. One of the things, right, of grace. One of the things that we understand, we mess up. But he says here, think about sweet words more often. Think about things to edify them, to lift them up, instead of always being a wood chopper or a head chopper. Speak when you've already sought God and you've asked him for the wisdom to be able to guide your children, because I've lost it as a parent. And I can tell you, some of the words that I've spoken dishonored God. And I'm just being truthful. The more as I get older, I understand, look, you have to balance it. Yes, there's times for discipline, but under control. But then there's times when you have to also lift up. It's not always the negative. It's not always the wrong they do. Also lift them up when they do well, parents. Because that's important as well. And many times we don't do that. And I'm guilty as charged. So I'm not preaching down to you. What I'm doing is letting you know the power of words. El poder de las palabras es muy inmenso. Y muchas veces como padres estamos todo el tiempo cortando y cortando y cortando y no levantamos en lo bueno que hacen. Entonces, ¿verdad? Tú dices, ¿por qué no hay fruto en lo que estoy diciendo? Porque palabras dulces suben la persuasión, ¿verdad? Dice aquí, see, sweet words lift up persuasion. Many times you think, why are my kids not listening to me? Well, hear yourself. And you know how you could tell real easy? With a recorder. If the Lord had that recorder on us, busted. Guilty as charged. But the thing is, when you understand that principle, what a blessing. And I've learned that as I've gone on. But one of the things is that we can be hard sometimes. Harder than God is on our children. And we forget those words of persuasiveness. Muchas veces somos más duros que lo que Dios es con nuestros hijos. Y entonces se pierde lo que Dios quiere lograr en las vidas de nuestros hijos. Tengan cuidado con las palabras. Be careful with those words. Remember, it's the sweetness of the lips, right, that increases learning. Es la dulzura de esas palabras que hace crecer el entendimiento. If you want your children to learn, si quieren que ustedes aprendan sus hijos, háblenles bien, bajo control. Y cuando es tiempo de disciplinar, también se necesita el control. No tienes licencia nomás de dejar ir todo, el marro y todo. Hable con amor y ternura como Dios te ministra a ti. That's one of the things I think ministers to me more than anything. When God corrects me, he doesn't correct me in the flesh and in anger. He corrects me in the spirit based on his word, and that's where I draw closer to him. It's the same principle when we correct our children. We must be in the spirit, not the flesh. Tenemos que estar en el espíritu, no en la carne, cuando corrigimos nuestros hijos. Háblenles con palabras de dulzura también, no nomás amargas. Okay, balance it. Balance the correction of children. Speak to them with kind words, but also when you have to be a disciplinary, nothing wrong, but under control. Never in the flesh, because flesh reaps flesh. Spirit reaps spirit. La carne, ¿verdad? Trae carne. Pero el espíritu trae espíritu. Vas a tener más resultados así, ¿verdad? Entonces, mire lo que dice el Salmo 119, 103. Let's go to Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. See, when God ministered to us, those words are sweet. Mire cuál dulces son mi paladar tus palabras. A mi paladar tus palabras. Más que la miel a mi boca. El Señor nos habla con ternura. Y la palabra sí nos corta, ¿verdad? Pero nos corta en un modo que sabemos que es para nuestro bien. See, and the word will cut. Yes, sometimes it's sweeter than honey, sometimes it's bitter. But one of the things that's always doing surgery on us. Look at verse 22 of chapter 16 of Proverbs. Miren el versículo 22 de Proverbios 16. Dice, el entendimiento es fuente de la vida, de vida para el que lo posee, mas la instrucción de los necios es necedad. Understanding is a fountain of life to one who has it. But the discipline of fools is folly. I want you to see that. For centuries, people have sought the fountain of youth, right? Por siglos, la gente ha seguido la fuente de la juventud. Si no mal la oyo, ¿verdad? Los españoles y todo. Si no mal la encontramos, ya tenemos vida eterna. Right? Even the Spaniards, when they came over, they wanted to seek the fountain of youth, thinking they would get eternal life. Right? See, in Christ, we don't have to search for that fountain of youth that man searches for. He's given us that fountain of youth. We have eternity. Isn't that wonderful? No tenemos que buscar esa fuente de vida que el humano busca aquí en la tierra. No la han hallado, ¿verdad? No la han encontrado. Tienen Botox. Pero nomás están preservando lo que al fin se va a caer. Right? People have been looking for the fountain of youth. Botox is a big business, right? Yeah. They're only preserving what eventually is going to fall. And one of the things is when you see that, right, you understand we don't need to seek those things the way the world does. We have the fountain of youth in Christ. And we will live forever. Tenemos esa fuente de vida, ¿verdad? Y no tenemos que mirarnos como león ni nada, ¿ya? Que se va haciendo lo viejito naturalmente. Graceful. Yes, grow gracefully as you gain age. God is so good to us that we are guaranteed that already. Just keep that in perspective. Manténgalo en perspectivo. The world has never found that fountain of youth. El mundo no lo ha hallado. Y aunque sigan necios todavía, no lo van a hallar. Porque solamente el Rey de Reyes te la puede dar. So it's only God, the King, that can give you that. See, God's wisdom gives us discretion. And one of the things, he gives us the life-giving fountain that comes from his word. Él nos da la fuente de vida que viene de su palabra. Para lo que necesitamos ahorita, y lo que vamos a necesitar por la eternidad. His word will give us what we need for today and for eternity. And so when you keep it in perspective, he washes away all the deadly effects of sin from our life. Si tú mantienes esto en perspectiva, él comienza a limpiarte en esta tierra de todos los efectos negativos que trae el pecado con él. Y entonces te da la vida sana, bonita, ¿verdad? Aunque los huesos se van haciendo viejo y la edad se va haciendo vieja, no tememos, porque yo sé que voy a recibir un cuerpo nuevo en la eternidad. See, you and I are going to receive those bodies in heaven. And that's going to be a blessing, right? That's going to be something beautiful. See, and that makes us look toward heaven. Eso nos hace buscar los cielos y la eternidad. Si no nos hiciéramos viejos, okay? Una de las cosas, estuviéramos aquí todo el tiempo interesados con esto temporal en vez de lo eterno. See, if we would not grow old, we would never long for heaven. We'd always be here thinking this is all there is to life. Let me tell you, this is going to go away one day. But what will never go away is the presence of God for eternity. It's there. La presencia de Dios va a ser por toda la eternidad. Aunque se caiga este mundo, con Él vamos a vivir por siempre. No se les olvide, porque pasamos por cosas, enfermedades, ¿verdad? Pasamos por lucha, prueba, cosas duras. Pero acuérdense, nosotros estamos cubiertos en los días de hoy y en los días eternos por el medio de la sangre de Cristo. See, we are covered today here for the temporary and for the eternal. And so one of the things, we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear growing old. And many times you forget, right? Because you, oh, when I was young, I could do this. Tarzan. And now God humbles you and He shows you, you cannot do it without me. What you could do back then, it was me in you. And that's what designed by God. Why? So we won't get proudful. We won't get full of ourselves. But we know we have a dependence on a God who is the one who upholds us. Tenemos una dependencia hermosa en el Señor que nos detiene firmes, ¿verdad? So precioso es el Señor. Qué bonito es Dios con nosotros. Y hay que darle toda la honra y gloria. Miren el versículo 23. Proverbs 16:23. We're almost there, guys. Two more verses. The heart of the wise instructs his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. El corazón del sabio enseña su boca y añade persuasión a sus labios. Okay, this is a man with a wise heart. Este es un hombre con un corazón sabio. His heart will teach his mouth what to say. Su corazón le enseña a este hombre lo que debe decir. Cómo decirlo y cuándo decirlo. And then it'll say when to say it and who to say it to. Right? That's important. His words will be spoken at the right time and he shall not be at a loss for what to say. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will speak for him. Nunca le va a perder palabras. Cuando lo necesita usar, lo va a usar porque tiene el Espíritu Santo que le dice cuándo hablar y cómo hablar. But it's more than mere words, remember. Because those words are filled with the wisdom of God. It's important. ¿Verdad? Esas palabras no son nomás palabras que salen huecas, están llenas de la sabiduría del Señor. Look at verse 24. Mira el versículo 24. Ahorita que cambia. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Panal de miel son las palabras agradables, dulces al alma y su salud para los huesos. Okay, so pleasant words. Heal and bring healing. Las palabras, ¿verdad? Sanas. Sanan. Y una de las cosas, ¿verdad? Que esas palabras agradables comienzan a llegar a todo partes del cuerpo. And those words of encouragement get to go to all your body. They are sweet to the soul. Tan dulce al alma. Quiere decir que cuando usas esas palabras dirigidas por el Espíritu Santo, vas a hacer bendición en la vida de otros. When you are using those words of life with other people, you're going to be an encourager. And you know how when we get compliments, right? We swell up all of a sudden and we feel better. Cuando nos da alguien un cumplimiento que viene de Dios, te levantas con ánimo. Y eso es lo que hace la palabra aquí. Nunca se les olvide, ¿verdad? Que son dulces las palabras que nos van a cambiar. Those sweet words, the words that are very pleasing to God, are the ones that lift us up and change us. And then we'll close with Proverbs 16:25. Lo vamos a cerrar con Proverbios 16:25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Hay camino el que el hombre que al hombre le parece derecho, pero al final es camino de muerte. Okay, how many times doesn't an unwise man say, I'm going to follow this path, I'm going to do it my way, and then they end up being destroyed because they were doing their own thing instead of consulting God, right? This is an important concept. You have to seek God always in the direction you're to have each day. Cada día es una oportunidad de que tú le pidas al Señor dirección. How many people have been told not to do certain things a certain way, and they still keep doing it, and then their life ends up broken, it ends up messed up, because they wanted to do it their way, like Frank Sinatra, right? Life is changed. Life is messed up. Gente que quiere hacer su vida como Frank Sinatra, de su modo, su camino, ¿verdad? Que dicen que no consultan con Dios. Todo el tiempo sus vidas salen mal. Pero cuando vas a la palabra, cuando vas y buscas de Dios y platicas con Él y le pides dirección, Dios te va a guiar a hacer lo correcto. Hay gente terca también. Y el Señor trata con ellos y les dice, mira, haz esto, y todavía dicen, no, lo voy a hacer de mi manera, porque aquí mis chicharrones nomás trenan. Y al rato andan destruidos por el enemigo. There's people that are stubborn, and God continues to say, don't do this, don't do that, you're going to harm yourself, and yet they still do it, and what happens? They're pork rinds. I will use it anyway. All right. It's funny, right? But one of the things is, it's true. We are so stubborn. And one of the issues is, we have to submit to God. See, some people walk the path of life, they know it's wrong, even though God has told them not to take it. And many proverbs speak of those persons, they call them foolish. Hay gente necia que nomás quiere seguir su camino, aunque Dios le ha dicho, no sigas ese camino. Y todavía lo hacen, ¿verdad? Pero ¿qué de la gente que sí quiere seguir el camino correcto, la senda correcta del Señor? Esa gente va a ser bienaventurada. But the person who wants to go down the path of God, the path of righteousness, that person is going to be blessed. See, and that's the thing. It's not about what path we want to take. It's the path that God has ordained for us to follow. No es nomás el camino que yo quiero pasar. Es el camino que el Señor puso por mí que yo debo de seguir. Porque cuando Él lo unge, ahí va a estar la revelación de su palabra y la guianza que necesito. See, because when God reveals His will, God's revelation will be there. His word will be there to steer me in the right direction. And you cannot be in a safer place than when you've sought God and you've heard God and you follow the road He's laid out for you. You're secure there. The devil doesn't want you to do that. Do your own thing so that you hit the potholes, you hit all the bumps in the road, so that when you're going through that road, there's confusion and chaos robbing you of the peace of God. For you young people here today, the path that God has set for you is in the Word. You have to learn that. If not, you're going to go through the bumpy roads of life, and you're going to pay a consequence for that. Why don't you just say, Lord, I submit to your will. I want to do the things you call me to do. Get this rebellion out of me. Because that's all there is. If you're not going down the road God indicated for you, it's rebellion. You're choosing your own way. Do not do it. Come to the Lord and get directed by His word. Right? It may seem right to you and say, no, this is it. But mom and dad told you, don't look at that boy. He's bad for you. No, I'm going to go down that road. And I have to learn the wrong way. Or if it's a boy, right, that girl is bad for you. Oh, no, but I'm going to do it anyway. And what happens? You end up being deceived by the enemy. And then your life changes forever. Y luego tu vida cambia por siempre. I've seen it. You've seen it. And what a disaster that is when God says, look, I've already mapped it out for you. Follow after my righteousness, after my heart and in your word, and I will protect you. I'll keep you safe there. And the thing is, even when we mess up and take the wrong road, God is still there to say, it's okay. I love you. If eventually you understand that, God will turn your life around for good. How many believe that? He'll get you back on the right road. El Señor, aunque háganos errores y háganos mal y estamos en nuestro camino propio, si nos arrepentimos, Dios nos lleva al camino seguro otra vez. Eso es lo bonito de tener al Señor. Estamos cubiertos. Aunque tengamos cabeza de marro, el Señor todavía dice, te amo. See, and even if we're stubborn and we're called hammerheads because we have heads of steel, stubborn, God will still change that. And in His kindness, restore your life. And He will restore what the canker worm tried to destroy. Te va a restaurar y te va a restaurar la vida que el gusano te quiso robar y destruir. Dios es muy bendito, muy bueno con nosotros. Hay gente que también se sube en el camino y toma la dirección opuesta que el Señor le ha dado. There's people who walk on that road and they take the opposite direction. It's a wrong way on a one way. Es el camino que toman, ¿verdad? Que está equivocado, que nomás es de un sentido, una hilera, y ahí andan en contra, ahí viene el tren, ahí viene el carro, y les va a pegar. Y el Señor dice, no le hace, arrepiéntete. Wrong paths will lead to death. Many times physical, many times spiritual. Estar en la senda incorrecta te puede llevar a la muerte espiritual o física. Tener cuidado de escuchar lo que el Señor te está diciendo. Acuérdense, una de las cosas que el Señor te ama mucho y no quiere lastimarte. The Lord loves you so much, He doesn't want you hurt. All right, so that's what we have for today. I'd like the worship group to come up. I'd like us to stand on our feet. Now I just want us to remember the three points we covered today. Quiero que aprendamos los tres puntos y meditar en ellos que tenemos que seguir. Primeramente, planificar buscando la justicia. First thing is plan by seeking after righteousness. God's mapped out the road, just stay on it. And even if you're tempted to go off-road, remember, off-road sometimes leads to death. Si estás tentado de sacarte del camino y te vas en vez de la justicia a la desobediencia, hay peligro ahí, cuidado. And then point number two, plan to find His understanding. Planificar para que encuentre su entendimiento. How do you gain that knowledge? Through the Word, through the study of the Word, and staying in the path of God. ¿Cómo te quedas en ese camino de entendimiento? Estás estudiando la palabra, la usas y la aplicas en tu vida para seguir adelante. Y luego por fin, ¿verdad? Planificar con palabras agradables. Háblele a sus hijos con palabras de dulcera, ¿verdad? También, no nomás lo negativo. Remember to speak to your children. Remember what it says. Plan seeking pleasant words. Balance it. Not all the time the hammer, but also the grace. And let them understand how much you love them. Déjenlos saber cuánto los aman y sigan adelante. Amén. Vamos a orar. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your words of life that you give us. And Father, we do want that wisdom to be able to guide our children and our grandchildren down the road that you've laid for all of us as we understand your perfect word. And so we come asking you for that blessing, Father, to be able to be under control in the Spirit at all times, not only in our personal walk, but as we give advice and counsel to our children. Father, we love them. And you know, we know, Father, that you love them more than we ever could. So help us to direct them as they continue to grow, so when they grow old, they will not depart from your way. And then help us as parents to always rely on you, Father, because you are a good and merciful Father. And so, Father, we pray that we will continue to walk in the path of righteousness, to seek your knowledge, and to be able, Lord, to walk in the way where our words reflect how much we love you. We love you so much for giving us grace and mercy each and every day. Help us to walk in appreciation and thank you every day as you plan our days. And that when we wake up in the morning, right away we get on our knees to give you the honor, the glory, the praise, and the thanks for all you've done for us. Señor, ve con tu pueblo, enséñales que cada mañana que les des vida nueva, te agraden, te den gracias, Padre, por todo lo que tienen, y que, Señor, sigan adelante, siendo esos padres que necesitan ser para nuestros hijos, para que ellos también, Señor, sigan tus preceptos, para que cuando crezcan viejos, no se aparten de ti. Y que podamos nosotros también darte gracias por las misericordias nuevas que nos das cada día. Ve con tu pueblo, bendícelos grandemente, Señor. Guíalos conforme tu palabra. Y si nos perdemos, sabemos que tú tienes, Señor, el GPS divino, el Espíritu Santo que nos has dado para ponernos otra vez en el camino correcto. Father, and if we get astray or lost, Father, thank you for the GPS you've placed within us, the Holy Spirit, to keep us on that right path, to get back on course and seek after your heart. Father, bless your people with a wonderful night and take them home with safety. Señor, bendice a tu pueblo con una noche hermosa y llévalos en seguridad. Te lo pido en el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Lord, I ask you this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.